Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
I didn't know AI lawyers were a thing. I mean, I do think AI policies and sort of the rules around how we interact with it are going to have to become more sophisticated. I find from an employer perspective, I feel like I'm arguing with the same person.
I mean, we've all like used AI. You can kind of tell when something's been written by it or like the tone of it.
Yeah.
You're much less likely to take something like that seriously. Yeah.
And it's so important when it comes to the law and situations like this that involves people, personalities, that we are being objective and we're testing things. Mm. We don't get that from the basic AI tools.
Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to HRER with another episode.
Tripping over your words there. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, so we don't normally record this early, but we're busy.
We are busy.
It's the only slot we've been able to find, so today we're going to bash them out.
We're going to try. Yeah, I'm still waking up, but we'll hopefully get there. We're going to talk about hot topic AI.
Yeah. And this is a good one.
This is a good one. Everyone's bloody invested.
I'd say this is a first for me, which I don't get a lot of anymore. When you've been doing this as long as I have, there's not many queries that you get that are like, oh, it's the first time I've been asked this. Mm. This was a first.
I mean, in like passing, in my recent memory, you've mentioned things like AI policies and stuff before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a relatively new thing, last 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, AI is obviously not a new thing. I think it's adoption in the workplace and actually needing a policy for employees and people accepting it or welcoming it at work and then needing to regulate how it's used and dealing with all the issues that come with it. I don't think that's necessarily new anymore. I think when we start getting down to SME companies, or you know, your really small employers actually using these tools, I don't think it's new anymore at that point. I think when you've got big companies, big resources, you know, can see what's coming on the tech horizon, often, you know, paying very highly paid tech people to come and bring them bespoke solutions and things like that. You know, I think at that stage, it's kind of cutting edge. Now, I mean, I can probably speak to some of my significantly older relatives, and they know what I'm talking about when I talk about AI. Mm. So yeah, I don't think it's new anymore. I don't think it's cutting edge, but I think some of the issues that it's now creating in the workplace, we're seeing some really kind of unusual stuff coming through, and this is one of them.
It's pretty saturated now, isn't it? Like the initial bubble hasn't quite burst, but it's just there and everyone can see we've got AI.
And it's so quick, like how quick we go from tool to tool to tool. Mm. And like when I told you which AI tool I'd adopted and I was using, I was dead excited about it. And I remember at the time being like, oh, this is a tool. And you're like, oh, you know, haven't heard of that one. Let's have a look at it. And the same, like across the team, everyone in the whole world now seems to be using it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm already reading articles where people are going, oh, it's getting dumber. Too many people are using it. And they're already recommending the next tool. So it's just, it's all moving so quickly. And that's in the space of a matter of weeks. And if we compare where we were with ChatGPT a year ago, everything just seems so much cleverer.
There's an AI for everything, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like literally everything. Like you use, we can name names.
I think we can name them. So I use Claude. I love Claude.
You're a serious convert, aren't you? The House of the Claude.
And I'm sat here like it's Valentine's Day and I'm thinking about Claude and it's like, I love it. It's brilliant. It's made my life so much easier. And not for like client stuff.
No.
I mean, it's from an operational perspective for me in terms of like the commercial work I do, the work with our board. It's made my life so much easier with things like Excel and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Things you're not the best at in general. Yeah.
To the point that the board like are now like thank Claude from us
for
this work that's been produced.
From. Yeah. We know where this is from.
And there's a skill that comes with using it, right? You know, you've got to refine your prompts. You've got to be good at knowing how to use the tool. You're only as good as the prompts that you put into it. But
God, it's
I love Claude.
I'm not aiming this at you, but it's just so lazy, isn't it? Like you've got to get you need to speak to the robot right.
You did,
right
and I was the example I gave because I was working between two different AI tools the other week, and I said to Michelle and Sophie, I was like, I'm literally just a courier. Like, yeah, I'm just passing information between the two AI tools and my law degree and all this experience and all the time I've invested in my career, and I've become an AI message carrier.
Literally.
It's just, that's what I've been reduced to. But is it lazy? I mean,
I actually find
that there's some days where I'm so overwhelmed with work, and that's even using the AI tools, which has definitely sped everything up.
Yeah.
But I'm getting like maybe 10 times as much done in a day. So then in my brain, I'm going, I can do more of this. And you almost find that your days are more frantic.
You're spinning the wheel.
Because you're just, I don't know. It's
limitless.
I haven't even kind of got the language for it. You just become so overwhelmed with dealing with the outputs and refining them. Because you can't just input, get your output and send.
No.
There's a lot more that has to go into it than that, obviously. So yeah, you do almost create this weird, different workload.
We said it before, I think, when we've covered it a little bit before, but it's like a little assistant.
Yeah.
Just use it as that.
Well, I've been reading about people getting AI burnout because you are able to be so highly productive.
Right, okay.
But then you're falling into what I think almost like a hamster wheel where...
That's what I meant.
Yeah, where you're dealing with tools that can process things in microseconds that would take our brains potentially hours to think about, process, analyze, and sort of come to decisions and conclusions. So when things are happening that quick, we're sort of pushing ourselves to try and process quicker and quicker and quicker and turn work faster. So we're not taking the time to digest information and let ourselves process at the normal speed.
You are just passing it on.
And you are just spinning this hamster wheel faster and faster and faster, and it's leading to AI burnout.
Heck. Must be a new term. Yeah.
But that's not actually what we're here to talk about.
No, it's not. No.
We're here to talk about AI. So we've done some good kind of sociological stuff there. But yeah, let's get into actually the question.
Social podcast coming next week. My AI lawyer sent me that. So we're going to talk about like that. Why information is relevant, why it's not. So let's go. Hi, Alyssa. We are in a prolonged and increasingly complex grievance and absent management process with an employee who's been off sick for over 6 months and has multiple disabilities. There is also an ongoing performance and conduct history prior to their absence. The employee has submitted multiple grievances alongside a large SAR, making the process difficult to manage. They recently indicated they were seeking legal advice. However, we then received a highly aggressive letter accusing the business of discrimination, alleging verbal abuse, stating that the employee was resigning due to a breakdown in trust and threatening tribunal with a significant compensation claim. Shortly after, the employee left a voicemail asking us to disregard the letter, followed by an email stating that they had used an AI lawyer and had not authorised the correspondence. The letter was not marked without prejudice. We are unsure whether this amounts to a valid resignation and how we should proceed. What's an SAR?
Subject access request.
I should know
you
that.
You should.
God damn.
You should. You probably refer to it as a DSAR, so data subject access request.
Yeah,
but subject access request.
Every day, yeah.
That, there's your get out. Sorry. It's a slightly different acronym.
I normally use the whole words.
I mean, what do you deal with day to day? Data? Isn't
that basically
the subtotal in your job?
Shh. Okay. Right, let's ignore my shortcomings and focus on this, shall we?
So, in a nutshell with this one, we've got a pile of nightmare dealing up at work. We've got long-term sickness absence, grievance, disability stuff going on. It's all getting very, very involved and quite contentious. And then we have a highly aggressive letter, supposedly from a lawyer. Employee goes, no, I didn't mean to resign. That has been sent by an AI lawyer. And I didn't authorise its sending. So I didn't know AI lawyers were a thing.
No, neither did I.
This was something that was new to me. So I know, obviously, that there's AI legal tools. So I know that there's analytical tools that will help people analyse their cases or put claims together and help employees make head or tail of what it is that's going on with their matter. I didn't actually realise that AI lawyers were a thing. And this is something that I think I'm going to kind of research in a bit more detail, because in the UK, legal services, the provision of legal services is regulated. So if you want to represent somebody at tribunal or in court, it's what we call a regulated activity. You're regulated by the Solicitors Regulatory Authority, so the SRA, the lawyer police.
Okay, yeah,
basically.
Nice. Yeah,
so you do bad things, the lawyer police comes for you, you can lose your registration. If your law firm does bad things, the lawyer police come for you and they can shut your law firm down, they can fine you, they can audit you.
They take your wig.
I don't get a wig, I'm not a barrister.
What?
But now you have to buy your wigs, and no one can actually take that off you.
Oh.
And to be honest, even if you're off your registration, if you want to sit at home, crack open a beer, watch Netflix with your wig on, no one can stop you.
Yeah.
Even the SRA can't stop you from doing that.
Power in.
Anyway, so where AI lawyers sit within that regulatory sphere I'm not entirely sure. That's not for this podcast. It's highly boring for anyone other than lawyers as to where this sits in the legal regulatory sphere with the SRA. But that was my first thing, was like, oh, is this even lawful in the UK? Right, should this program be doing this, where they're claiming to be a lawyer, signed off as if it was from a person, and said it was representing this individual and it was their client?
It has to be a UK company, surely, though. Okay, it has to be like trained on UK legislation and what have you, no?
Yeah, I assume so, yeah.
You'd hope so, wouldn't
you? Yeah. Anyway, so the employee's issue with this was that the letter wasn't actually accurate. They said that they hadn't authorised the resignation and that they said that they were not standing by the claim that they'd been verbally abused. So they said that actually what had come across wasn't even accurate. So that was first thing. One was utter shock. AI lawyers, what a thing. So that's something I'm going to be looking into. Then it's like, what do we do with this situation? So when we've got these sort of increasingly toxic situations, it's almost a bit of a relief when somebody goes and gets a lawyer. Because when you've got someone who is running a case like this themselves, they're often putting things into ChatGPT, maybe doing their own research. They're not very objective. And you can end up with like 40, 50, 60 page grievances and then follow-up grievances. And they can't really see the wood for the trees. So where they might have two or three core complaints, they think, well, I'll throw everything at this and see what sticks. And you can end up with 30, 40 allegations. And it's very hard to actually get to the bottom of what the employee's not happy about. Lawyers help cut through that. So having someone who can sit down with someone and go, right, let's structure this properly. Let's actually understand what it is that's upset you or where the law's been broken. And we'll write something concise and structured to the employer so that we can then move this forward productively.
Yeah.
So it's actually helpful sometimes
when
an employee
goes
and gets someone who knows what they're doing. So there's almost a sigh of relief when someone goes, I'm going to see a lawyer, rather than like the fear, like, oh no, please don't get a lawyer. It's like, oh goodness gracious, please go get a lawyer.
Someone I can speak to.
Yeah, someone I can speak to about this on the same level. And then now, if we're in the world where when the employee says, I'm going to go get a lawyer, that one of those options is potentially these AI programs.
That's dangerous, mate.
It's dangerous, but it's also very new for me on the other side of the fence where we're receiving this stuff. So first things first, it wasn't marked without prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Which means technically this is an open letter. This is something that could be used as evidence in a tribunal. So if something is marked without prejudice, it means it's off the record.
Right, okay.
So if an employee writes a letter to an employer, says, you've treated me very badly, without prejudice, I want to consider settlement. I will go for £5,000 and I won't sue you. If that doesn't settle, you go to tribunal and you get to the end of the case, employee wins. And at that point, they're claiming £50,000. You wouldn't be able to rely on that letter and say, well, hang on, but you said you'd settle for 5 months ago because it was without prejudice. It was off the record.
Okay.
So that's what without prejudice means. So this letter wasn't marked without prejudice. This is open correspondence that if there was a dispute and if tribunal did actually happen, this letter could form part of the evidence bundle. Secondly, the employees supposedly resigned in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to think about, was there a valid resignation?
Right, okay.
So I suspect from your seat over there as a layman, you think, well, it's quite straightforward. The letter says, I have resigned.
Resign.
Therefore,
goes through.
Employment has ended.
There you go.
Resignation is actually a really interesting topic because it's not necessarily as clear-cut as that. If someone storms out of a building and goes, I've had enough of this place, I'm done with you all, do you think that's a resignation?
No, I don't.
No, you don't?
The word escapes me, it's too early in the morning. That's performative.
Yeah, vague.
Or vague, yeah.
It's not clear. Are there intentions to sever the employment relationship? Do we know when they're finishing? Do we know what their final date is? Is it clear? Is it clear that actually someone has intended to end their employment?
So.
Exactly. So what the law generally requires is that we're clear on the employer's intended to end that relationship and that we have a defined finish.
Mm-hmm.
We also have what we call heat of the moment situations. So my example with the employee, when they go storming out, like you say, performative, like I'm done with this place. It's good practice for HR senior managers to email right to employees and say, look, take a couple of days, cool off. Maybe don't be patronizing about it. You know, if someone has been hysterical and you tell them to cool off, it can sometimes have the opposite effect. It certainly does when my husband says it to me.
Calm down.
don't tell a woman to calm down. Trust me.
Or chill out.
Oh, I can feel my temper rising already.
It never works, does it?
No. But saying to someone, look, appreciate tempers were high. you said, you know, you were done with us. We'd like to clarify your intentions. If actually it was something that was said in the heat of the moment, your intention is not to resign, please let us know. So we're giving someone that opportunity to kind of clarify or think about what was done in the heat of the moment. So in this situation where we've got a piece of correspondence that says, I'm resigning, but we don't have, I'm giving you notice to terminate my employment, or I'm resigning without notice and my final date will be this. It was just a resignation. And the employee has immediately followed up with a voicemail to go, please disregard it. That's not what was intended. If we held that employee to that resignation, we've got some risk there.
Unfair dismissal type thing?
Would it be unfair dismissal? Would it be constructive? Because the employee has technically resigned. But then if we're saying technically they haven't resigned, but we're saying, no, we're going to hold you to it, your employment is ending, yeah, it'd be unfair dismissal.
And they've got to give like a notice period. Haven't you got to?
So you don't have to. So the law allows if an employee is resigning, but they are doing it because of an employer's breach of contract. So if we're saying, you breached my contract of employment, I am resigning and claiming constructive dismissal, I'm out of here. The Employment Rights Act does allow employees to resign with or without notice in those situations. So you can go, I'm resigning without notice, I am done, my employment ends immediately, or you can give a notice period. Where it kind of gets complicated is if you've got an employee saying, I have no trust and confidence in you as an employer, I am resigning, but I'm giving you notice, and the notice period is like 6 months and they offer to work it. Has the trust and confidence really gone?
What, if they're still coming to work?
If they're still coming to work for 6 months. So yeah, sometimes giving the notice period can actually undermine an employee's argument about trust and confidence.
Right.
Where you've got someone who's got a sick note that covers them, often the tribunal will be like, well, they've given notice, but they're not working, they're off sick. Yes, I'll accept trust and confidence is gone, and this isn't someone who is affirming the contract or saying that actually the relationship hasn't deteriorated
they're
to that
messer.
Extent.
They're a messer.
Yeah. So resignation itself can be complicated. In this situation, I would not be treating that as a true resignation.
Because no, it's not come from them, eh?
One, it's not come from them. But two, the employee has clarified immediately. This wasn't an authorised sending. I am not resigning. They're very clear about their intentions here. And my concern would be that if we were being cross-examined in tribunal on this and we're asked by the other side, okay, so we've got this messy situation. This employee's been causing hassle for months. We've got grievances. There's disabilities. There's long-term sick. Anyone could have empathy potentially with the employer to go, you've got a lot on your plate with this one. There's a lot of process to deal with. And then you're offered a get out where someone goes, I'm resigning, and you take it. What you're doing is taking advantage of this employee's situation to end this process at this point.
Or avoiding paperwork.
And both. Where this is someone with a disability, where we've got long-term sickness absence, where we've got grievances that are connected to it, if we've taken a shortcut with this person that we wouldn't have done for someone who didn't have a disability, it could potentially be disability discrimination.
That's money, isn't it?
That is money.
That's like six figures money.
So if we're seen to be cutting corners, as with everything with HR and employment law related, it could massively backfire. So in this situation where an employer would often be like, oh, finally, you know, they've agreed to go, it's come early and expected, we're done with this. It's one of those conversations where I'm going to go, no, I'm sorry, we're not done with this. We need to be telling them, yes, that's fine. It's retracted, consider it, we haven't had it, whatever. And we've got to get back into this one.
Can't be good for like... I'll look for another word for like vibes, but like the workplace, like
culture. That's your
morale.
Favorite word. Yeah.
Well, that person would surely feel awkward at work.
After this has been sent, I guess. I mean,
embarrassed.
I mean, they've already submitted several grievances. So the employer already knows they're not very happy with the workplace. They already know it's got to the point where they've gone to see a lawyer.
A bit desperate now.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, this person's off on long-term sick, so they're not coming in to face the workforce anyway. But it's also, you know, within that correspondence, has the employee kind of shown their hand a little bit somewhere in terms of intentions, claims, and things like that? So, you know, someone like me is going to be taking that letter to pieces, going through it with a fine tooth comb to be looking for basically suggestions of strategically how we can use this to understand what's going through the employee's mind.
I mean, we've all like used AI. You can kind of tell when something's been written by it or like the tone of it.
Yeah.
You're much less likely to take something like that seriously. Yeah. Like if it's whereas if it's come from like an authoritative person with like knowledge of employment law or even like just a normal person.
That's a really interesting question actually, because it, It's with this employee where we turn around and say, look, yeah, we're happy to for your retraction on this, but this tool is clearly disruptive.
Mm.
We're not going to engage with content that comes from it. Can we say that? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, if this is going to repeatedly happen, where we're going to get things written by this tool and employees then going to be following up going, actually, I didn't write that. I didn't authorize that. I don't know why it sent you that.
Got to put that in your policy. Like, don't use legal advice, AI.
Well, we
tools,
can't tell them what legal advice they can't use. But can we? Could we refuse to engage with an AI lawyer? Probably. We could have a policy that we will only, when it comes to these sorts of discussions, that we'll only engage with a human.
I would argue that relying
human
on...
human-only policy.
I think that was in my head, that was what I was trying to think. Like, do you need to come from a human mind?
Because we can't tell people you can't take legal advice or tell them where they can't get their legal advice from. But we can refuse to correspond with a robot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is where I'm going with that, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous tangent. But, like, you know, the guy who allegedly tried to shoot Donald Trump at that gala thing a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently he was asking ChatGPT. He asked ChatGPT for his plan.
What, for tips?
Yeah. Like, people just using it for, like, mad stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, to format plans for just the most heinous stuff.
I mean, I do think AI policies and sort of the rules around how we interact with it are going to have to become more sophisticated. I find from an employer perspective, I feel like I'm arguing with the same person. It's so boring.
What, the AI?
Yeah. Every grievance, every complaint written by ChatGPT, same tone, same voice, same language, same punctuation. It literally sounds like I'm arguing with the same person day in, day out.
They're very...
It's very samey.
Yeah, they're not very questioning either. Like, you're not going to get an AI going, hang on a minute, do you really mean that?
Yeah.
Do you mean that?
They don't test things.
No.
Yeah.
They're very like enabling.
Well, the basic free open source tools, I would say. Let's not generalize across, you know, let's not put Claude.
Leave
Claude alone. Stop attacking Claude. You know, if we're going to use our bargain basement, very, very cheap open source tools that will often, and you see it like, I see it on Instagram all the time, where someone put something in like, oh, I spent my life savings on a holiday to the Maldives, haven't told my husband yet. And ChatGPT comes back and goes, now let's take a breath. What you did was very brave. Let's talk about how we break the news to your husband. And it's obviously oh, what's the word? Oh God, my brain.
It's so early. Satire.
It's like satire. You know, obviously, this. I don't think this is something that's come out of ChatGPT, but the whole point is that it will reinforce what you're doing and tell you that you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, it's not being objective. It's not testing what's going on. And it's so important when it comes to the law and situations like this that involves people, personalities, you know, culture clash, personality clash, whatever, that we are being objective and we're testing things. Mm. And we don't get that from the basic AI tools. So then when you're corresponding with somebody who's putting everything into ChatGPT and they read this thing that looks really polished, it sounds professional, and they think this is fantastic, but they don't know that half of what's in there is inaccurate or out of date or it's total supposition. Mm. And it's really frustrating because then when you go back and you're like, right, well, this isn't true, this isn't accurate, they get angrier, they feed it back into ChatGPT, and then it comes back with a whole load of other stuff. And it's not productive. And there's some commentary that you see in the social media spheres when you've got people that are kind of feeding this for employees that are on the employee-centric side of this, going like, oh, you know, AI is giving you the power to take on your employer. They just don't like it because it's making it a fair fight. It's not making a fair fight. It makes you sound stupid.
They're all using the same thing.
I would much rather have a one-page, well-written letter in basic, plain English that explains in normal language how you feel and what went wrong than 15 pages of rubbish out of ChatGPT that tells me that I've broken 7 laws that don't exist.
Use your words, people.
Yeah, just write a basic letter that tells me how you feel and what went wrong. It doesn't have to have loads of legal arguments in it.
No. Personally as well, like AI and the whole, like even Google, like the ability to search things on the internet leaves people with a real lack of blind spots for what they don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, ChatGPT said this, it must be right, bang, go.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not right. It doesn't know everything.
It doesn't know everything, and it's also not going to necessarily flag to you where your risk is. So you can be going 100 miles an hour in one direction when you don't realise something's about to broadside you.
It's just going to feed into what you believe.
Yeah.
Because it's going to agree. It's very agreeable, isn't it?
Yeah.
We need disagreeable AI.
But it's so interesting. Like, this is literally the evolution of the legal market, legal knowledge, and how people fight legal claims.
It's mad. Got all these men with all this money in the world, and they just make robots that can speak back to us.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm being reduced to an AI message carrier.
It's dangerous. It's not going to put people out of work, but it will. It's going to offer a lot more ignorance in our processes, I think.
I think it's making people dumber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
I'm one of them because I realised that the grammar of that was dreadful. But people aren't reading, they're not researching, they're not understanding the correspondence that they're sending. No. They're putting inputs, they're getting outputs, and they're sending it. They're not reading things necessarily line by line. They're not looking up case references or whatever else it's giving them. They just think, oh, it sounds impressive, I'll send it. So we're not upskilling, we're not educating ourselves. And I mean, it makes me sound very old, but when I was at university, my degree was done based on books. So I had to go into a library. So Ollie, a library is a place where there's written text and, you know, we open books and you read them and then you put them back out. Anyway, so that was how my degree was done. We didn't really have online resources. There weren't online lectures or anything like that. And the first week in law school was spent doing a library exercise where you had to, it's a bit like orienteering in the library. So you had a list of things and you had to be able to navigate around the massive law library to find everything and do your references and understand how footnotes work and all that kind of stuff before you were kind of let loose into your actual education. Mm. When you wrote your assignments, you'd have like a stack of books, you'd be photocopying various things and then put your assignment together and you would write it. And then finally, when you were done, type it up, print it off and go and hand it in because you couldn't email it to your professors. So I understood how to research, understood how to test what I was reading to go, well, what's the source? Where did this come from? Is it a reliable source? Do I need to go and look for another opinion to challenge this? But can I stand by the conclusions that I've reached in the essay that I'm writing? Now, the essay title, I think, is often put into Google, ChatGPT, various other legal tools. It'll list out the references and things that they need. Here's the salient points, and you can go and write it. So you don't necessarily have to get ChatGPT to write it, but it pulls it all together. Those research skills are valuable.
Yeah, I agree.
Knowing how to test information and how to test sources and verify information is essential. We're seeing a generation of people coming through who believe everything they read on social media. And when you ask them, well, where did you hear that? And they say Facebook. It makes me want to like put my head through a wall.
Go live, yeah.
It just, yeah.
Contrary to Alyssa's comments, I've read many books. You've seen me read in The Office.
Have I? You have, maybe not.
I think you did.
Not this office,
not the old one. I've got a bookcase though, eh?
Okay.
On our first meeting when I met you, I had a bookcase behind me, did I not?
It could be decorative.
It could be one of them like team ones, eh? But no, I think it's a bigger point. Like, I would coin it the death of curiosity. Mm-hmm. People ain't curious. They're not going to ask questions, are they? Like, no one asks questions based on, again, they think they know everything about a certain something. Yeah. They're not curious enough. They won't ask you questions. And people are afraid to be a beginner.
Yeah.
I think as well in certain things.
And I love going down an information rabbit hole.
Oh, same.
Like going and research something, understanding something. So if I'm talking to friends about something that's going on in their life or whatever, you know, it could be someone who's traveling to a different country or they've got an injury or maybe in search and rescue world, it's a way someone does something in another country or something like that. I want to go research it, read about it, you know, and it's the same with, you know, like when I started running and now ultras and Ironman stuff. Reading about training techniques and nutrition and whatever, like, and it's geeky, but I don't care. I like learning and I like getting to the bottom of where opinions have come from and why that's now the popular opinion or why it's a trend. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's as common with the younger generation anymore.
No. It's
an overgeneralization. I'm sure there are people that are, I think the...
Few and far between.
The fact that there's such fast and accessible information available.
Yeah, yeah. And we're all in a rush.
Yeah.
God, we're all in a rush, aren't we? We've all got stuff to do, but we haven't. Yeah.
And actually, let's bring it full circle. Like I was saying on our tangent at the beginning about the AI burnout thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That fast information all the time and how quickly accessible it is means that we can move through tasks so much quicker. We're not really absorbing stuff. No. We're not learning. It's...
We used to be like sponges, eh? What have we become? Yeah. Just plugins, aren't we?
Yeah. So that's, I'd say, the issue with this. Employee property isn't even really... appreciate the arguments that were being put forward. The final thing with this that got under my skin is this AI lawyer sent an email to someone within the company. So when we asked the employee how she thought that had happened, or how he thought that had happened, he said he'd fed the AI with email chains about what had been going on at work to get his advice and get things put together. It had taken the email addresses out of those chains, decided who was most appropriate to email with this letter, and it had sent it to the employer, is what he said. I mean, we've no way of verifying that thing has actually done this. And we certainly wouldn't be naming the tool, because obviously we can't stand by what we're saying, because this is, you know, testimony from an employee. But that's what he said the tool did. I mean, I don't know what his prompt was.
How do you verify that?
To get it to do this. There must have been a prompt that's like, I don't know, draft a letter to send to my employer. But whether it's taken draft a letter to send to my employer as an instruction to send.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
That seems a little bit unsafe to me.
It does. Like, and maybe that would be something that, I mean, it's not a disciplinary point.
No.
Technically, you know, if company emails have been fed into an external OpenAI source, if they have an AI policy, that could be a breach of the policy.
Can the employee sue that AI if it's an email without him saying yeah?
I mean, you'd have to look at the T's and C's of the product of what he's signed up for. I mean, I don't know. It's
probably no.
I suspect that the disclaimers on these things is very much going to be, this is an evolving technology. You must proofread. You must be small precise print with your prompts. Yeah. You must, you know, understand the tool before you, which is the very nature of this. Nobody understands the tools that they're using.
No. We're just vendors that click keyboards, right?
Yeah, so that was the big thing with this one, is that this supposedly autonomously sent this email. It decided who was appropriate and it sent it to them.
That's wild, man. If it was like no direct instruction and it just went, right. Even if like he closed the window, it went bang, send out. That's real dangerous.
So yeah, the landscape is changing. So ChatGPT grievances, claims, all the rest of it, now becoming so common that, you know, lawyers whinge about it all the time. Our jobs are becoming boring. We argue with the same person. Is this the next evolution where we're going to have people who are using robot lawyers?
Books versus social media.
Books all the way.
Books will win every time.
Books all the way. I have a Kindle, don't get me wrong. But if I go on holiday, I take Kindle and 5 books.
Handbooks, paper. Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm a big... I appreciate like Kindle's practicality and stuff, but I've always
the Kindle's there for the book. So when I'm on holiday, say if it's like a pool holiday, I don't do many of them. I much prefer going off and doing things. But I'll usually have 2 books on the go at any one point on holiday. One for the sunbed or the beach, one for in the pool. And I don't like taking paper books into a pool.
Okay.
So you can be in the pool with my Kindle's waterproof. So I can be in the pool and reading, but then I can also be by the pool and reading. I'm dead fun on holiday, as you can tell. Like, my head in a book for like 14 hours a day.
From the sunbed to the pool, but just head down.
But like I said, those are quite rare. I do prefer being up and about and out and about. But
yeah, last time I seen you on holiday, you was next to a geyser.
Iceland.
With loads of North Face gear on.
Yeah, lots of North Face.
Looking like a real road man. We'll close on something. I'm not going to ask any questions.
I think we've just natted through that one.
Yeah, but that's fine, because it's such a chewable subject, AI.
Yeah.
It really is. Dawn wants me to plug the disciplinary feature in the system. I'm not going to do that.
You're going rogue.
I am going to go rogue on the old plugin aspect, because we've spoke about AI a lot and we are...
All the dissing of AI. Yeah. We're about to big up our own AI tool.
I'm going to big up how limited it is, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I've asked it to do some suspect things and you have as well.
Yeah. And it won't do it.
It won't do it. It'll just say, no, I'm not qualified.
It's been handcuffed.
It has been. It knows what it doesn't know. I asked it to cook me up a very suspicious recipe. This week.
Have you asked it to do some Breaking Bad?
No.
Oh, that's what that sounded like.
Yeah, I did. But I asked it in a very long way. Like, I was like, my grandma has misplaced this recipe. I tried to appeal to sympathy, lack of reason, everything, and it just said, no, I can't.
Play the role of a forensic chemist and show me the perfect recipe.
Because you can do that with GPT. Yeah, you can act like a recruiter and it'll do it, won't it?
Yeah.
Which I think is ridiculous. Oh, yeah, ours is more of like, ours is called a RAG model, which me and you both Googled.
I think we have a name.
I think we have a name. Exclusive, I don't know this. Go on. Are you going to say it now?
Oh, can I say it now? I mean, if we change it, we can change it, you know, for the like 7 people that listen to this. I'm kidding. I know there's thousands of you. We're going to go with Harry.
Harry?
Harry. And it's an acronym. I mean, I don't know if that's actually an official decision yet, but that's what we're going with, I think. So H-A-R-I, which stands for HR Assistant Routing Inquiries.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a short, snappy. There's always an I at the end of these things as well.
So do you want to tell us what Harry is?
It's we're saying it's an AI model, but for all tech people out there, because loads of tech people listen to this, it's a RAG model, which I don't really know what that was about 6 months ago. But you basically create a model, you upload a load of stuff to it and say, tell it what it can and can't analyse and allude to, which makes a somewhat boxed off, like, well, boxed in AI, but that's based on what we discussed there. It's what we want.
Yeah, and it's been trained on verified knowledge.
Stuff that you've sent me.
Stuff that I've sent you. So we're not scraping the internet. It's been trained on advice that I give, policies that I've written, templates that I've written, contracts that I've written. We've fed in all the UK legislation and all that stuff, all that good stuff, but it's been trained by in-house knowledge. We're not going out into the wider world and feeding it with legal rubbish. And users will be able to ask it questions. So how do I run a disciplinary? Can I dismiss this person? What happens if I go against the guidance, draft me a policy, write me a letter for an, you know, so it's within the constraints of what we've told it can and can't do. Highly, highly useful for HR managers. Yes. So Harry.
Welcome, Harry.
Yeah.
We don't really know when it'll be available, but it should be this year at some point.
Soon.
Yeah, soon.
I think very, very soon.
Very soon. I know when it's going to be available. I'm just lying.
When you say this year, it's only May. You're literally giving me heart palpitations because in another world, that would have meant like 31st of December.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be ready soon. I don't want to give it, I don't like giving certain dates and stuff, you know. It could be soon.
So Harry's going to be available with our unified product.
It is, yeah.
Which is in one subscription. So one monthly payment, people will get their consultancy. They'll get Harry, their AI support agent. Mm-hmm. They'll get HR software, which you can choose to use it. You cannot. You can use your legacy one if you want. We don't care, but ours is there if you want to use it. And our e-learning. And we're also wrapping all this up with protection as well. So if, whilst using our unified product, an employee brings a claim against you, you will be insured. So legal fees and compensation will be covered.
Yes.
It's all very exciting. One payment and you get all of that. So after spending half an hour going, AI is really dangerous, we're like, use ours.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Use ours. That's kind of in handcuffs, so it's safe, honestly. Yeah. It's safe. If it's not, then you can tell me and I'll fix it.
Subject to appropriate legal disclaimers when Holly says it's safe.
Insert that here. I've asked none of the questions, but we've covered loads of stuff there, from your Without Prejudice SAR, which I should have known, all the way to what we can do in future.
Yeah.
Wicked. Like, comment, subscribe. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even hrer@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier and more productive workplaces.